I'm Katie.
I'm Kylie.
And this is
You're Not Paranoid. The ocean has been kind of cold lately.
The ocean's always cold.
That's not true.
Here it is.
Here? What? No.
But the West Coast is cold.
Speaking of the ocean, my husband's going surfing right now.
That's when the sharks come out.
Don't say that.
Am I wrong?
You're not. That's the problem. That's the ish. But knock on wood, that would be pretty horrible.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say it. I just surprised.
Speak it. Don't say the word. What do they call him? The tax man of the sea, or the landlord, or something? I don't know. He's
really. I've never heard that.
There's different. Well, you don't surf, so.
I took a surfing class once.
Weren't you in Australia or something?
No, I actually did my surf class through UCSD. They had it as part of their gym, one of their gym classes.
Sweet. Did you put the wetsuit on right?
Yeah. Well, we also had a Sure Sharp. So they had discounted wetsuits. So I technically bought one and I have it. Do I fit into it? Probably not. But I was able to do that.
Also, wetsuits change a lot.
Yeah, it's been many years now since I was in school, but also that was the pre-LASIK time, so I feel like that was a struggle. The friend that I did it with, we both were very blind, and so it was always like, should we wear contacts and see, or wear our glasses, and then they get knocked off, or, don't wear anything. So I ended up just not wearing anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't really get to see what was going on.
I'm very lucky in that my eyesight has been decent my whole life. And by decent, I mean, I don't know that it's not okay.
Oh, you would know.
So that's what I wonder, how.
I guess I didn't,
do things
though.
Without seeing. That's my point. When people who need glasses put on glasses and they're like, oh, everything's so clear. I'm like, how did you see it before and how did you live?
Yeah, that was me in fifth grade. I think I told my mom because I got moved to the back of the class, when the teacher rearranged desks. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I can't, what does that say? And then so I told my mom and then we went to the eye doctor and it was one of those things where and you're a straight A student. How are you seeing anything? And I was like, I really don't know.
Flashback to Katie in the classroom. You're just at the screen, 2 + 2 = Katie has the problem of just getting up during class and getting really close to the board.
Yeah, they thought I was a teacher's pet because I was always wanting to be at the board, but it was really just because I couldn't see.
You're always raising your hand. What does that say?
I was just really
Katie
good at cheating.
Has dyslexia. She can't read. No, she can't see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's amazing when you get glasses or contacts for the first time. It's a whole new world. You could see every little blade of grass and
How did grass look like before? That's what I'm wondering.
Well, have you seen there's TikToks and Instagram photos now of what it looks like. It's
go look it up.
Yeah, it's bad.
Aww.
Or mine was bad, at least.
Yeah.
But not anymore.
And now it's not. Yay.
I just have the old person syndrome of I should wear my glasses when I am on the computer.
Oh.
Because it's a little blurry. And they said that would happen as I get old.
They said that would happen. I mean, I think I haven't gone to the eye doctor in a very long time, but I can see grass and blades.
And can you read the street signs?
Yeah. And
I think you're fine.
I know. I'm at what point would I need to be worried? And then, but I will say, even with decent vision, I still like to wear blue light glasses.
Oh, yeah.
Or even, and they have a little magnification, or even reading a book. It just, I don't
Yeah,
know.
see, that's preemptive. So you're not straining your eyes.
Preventative maintenance.
It's all about the prevention, baby.
Dated and initialed. Boom, boom.
Yeah. Good job.
Thanks. I do my best. It was part of my SOP when I was born.
Nice. Yeah, I got my genetics weren't ISO certified. I got some crappy genes, so thanks a lot, parents. But that was more just like superficial stuff.
Both of your parents wear glasses, that's right.
Yeah, and like gap tooth in the front, acne.
You have a gap tooth?
I did when I was little.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
also sucked my thumb a lot. But I did have just general
put your
like
thumb
messed up
your...
teeth. Yeah. But I don't have
Was it
I've
gonna
never
say
had cavities.
Anything? No, I'm just kidding.
So
you have no, that's lucky. No cavities is a blessing. But don't count on it. They catch up to you as you go.
I know I'm going, I'm literally going next week. So,
oh my gosh, stay tuned. Will Katie have a cavity or not? Oh my gosh. I know people who say great teeth, but they haven't been to the dentist in like 12 years. So, they
no,
don't know.
I do my, my twice yearly checkups or cleanings or whatever.
Excellent. You look so proud of yourself. I was like, so pure.
I don't have much in my life going for me.
But I do go to the dentist twice a month.
Resume. No cavities,
oh
twice yearly cleanings.
Like,
I mean,
I won't even use my insurance that much. That's probably
yeah, so
a
you're
selling
welcome.
Point nowadays. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. Just include your, well, that's probably really illegal.
Yeah,
just like put your health
like,
history.
All your stats. Yeah. I'm
like a, make like a baseball card.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh,
can we make our own baseball cards? That would be, or like
baseball card resumes.
If we were Pokemon, that would actually be kind of genius to make like podcast cards that were just like,
but baseball.
Instead of, yeah, baseball version, but like of podcasters.
I like that. That's cute.
Let's make ours first. Any
and then we can make
there.
We can make them for other people, and then that could be our business.
You're gonna do that.
Okay.
We'll call it
Trading Pods.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Excellent job.
Thank
and then
you.
We'll like trade and battle. Like between you and me, who I mean, we can't, you know, two co-hosts can't battle. That's like the rule number one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yeah, so you can make the rules for the game.
Exactly. We got to make the rules because we own this bitch.
Yeah, I was never allowed to play Pokemon, so it was
because they're evil.
I think some sort of like maybe like gambling slash
voodoo,
like devilish. I just think it's because the teachers and stuff didn't know what it was.
Yeah, Pokemon are the devil. Like. Pikachu.
I was like, I don't know, they're kind of cute. I never watched
in.
It or anything.
Pikachu has little horns.
Yep.
Too good. Too good. Yeah, trading cards for pods, podcasts. I dig it. Good job. Agreed.
Dig it. Dig it up. Uh-huh.
By the way, we're getting dangerously close to our 100th episode.
Oh.
I don't know. I feel like when we hit 100, it's like hair flip, you know? Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where you've been, what you're doing, who you are now, because I have we'll have 100 episodes of our pod. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so cool. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh.
I know. I can't believe it.
What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Like, we'll have to ponder on it. Yeah. Or like a live tune in. All right, girl.
How are you?
Or lady. Oh, me? Why are you laughing?
Because you got startled.
What else about me? I'm good. I don't know if you can tell, but I lightened my hair.
No offense, I can't really tell. But I haven't seen you in a while, so I don't recollect what it looked like before. It looks nice though. Did you cut it?
Here's the crazy thing. I did not.
Oh
I've
wow.
never gone. Does it look like I didn't?
No,
I've
it looks like
never
you got
gone.
like layers.
Okay, this is what's so nutty. I've never gone to the hair salon and just got my hair colored, highlighted, whatever, and not trimmed. This is the first time she did it. And then usually she'll trim it while it's wet, but then she just kept blow drying. And then I don't really like when they do dry trim because sometimes I feel like it makes the ends too blunt. But we just kept blow drying and then it was done and I was like, I loved it. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, did you cut it? She's like, no. I was like, are you kidding me? Like my, I mean, right now this is like day old hair, but my bangs looked all like the right length. Like, look at that.
Wow. Yeah, I was gonna say it looks cute because it looks like you got like layers or like something. Like the cut looks a little different, if anything, not the color.
Yeah. I think it's because she did like a little wave in my hair, but this is like the layers I already had.
Oh wow, yeah, it looks really nice.
Thank you. I know my husband was like, not I know, but my husband said it looked like my hair is shorter. So the whole concept was just tripping me out. But anyways,
Yeah, that's crazy.
like my ends look pretty good, she said. So she didn't even
Dang.
trim them and I haven't been doing anything. I let it air dry because I work from home. So I'm doing something right with my life. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
Nice.
yeah. My hair is so happy with me right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get my hair done before I go on vacation.
Where, wait. Oh yeah, you're going to the East Coast.
East Coast. Yeah.
Wait.
We'll see.
I went to a Padres game last weekend and they were playing the Philadelphia. I mean, yeah, the Philly. Oh. Yeah, we don't like them. Oh yeah,
We
you're a
don't.
Yankees fan.
Well, also that's like East Coast, West Coast of Pennsylvania type of thing. So we're from the West Coast of Pennsylvania. Philadelphia's on the East Coast, so we don't root for those
What's in
teams.
Pennsylvania besides the Phillies that would be a baseball team? Is there another
Wow.
Philadelphia baseball team that I'm like, don't look
It's
at me
not,
like that?
first of all,
Oh
there's
no.
more than Philadelphia.
Uh-oh.
Okay. They
There's
get all the
fishy.
like
Wait, what else does,
history,
let me think of
history.
Pennsylvania.
It's
Nope,
where
that's
my family's
Massachusetts.
from.
No, I know, but I'm trying to think of, oh, where the specific spot that you're talking about?
Well, it's the city.
Nope, I'm totally lost. You're gonna say it and I'm like, oh yeah.
Black and yellow, black and yellow.
Penguins. No.
Yes. That's one of
You
them.
know what it is.
Yeah, that song is about this.
Burr.
Everything we do it
Saying
big.
burr because penguins are cold and they're birds. Burr. I want to say
Oh my,
birding.
you're
That's
saying
definitely
it.
Birbiglia. Burr. Burn. Berg. Oh my God.
on,
Pittsburgh.
man. Yeah.
Steelers. Wait, what's Pittsburgh
Yeah.
Pirates? There she is. That took a
Yeah,
right.
you named all of the other sports though. So.
Too good. Berg. Berg. Oh, because I knew Berg was then. That's so funny. The pits. Berg. It's the pits, which sometimes could be a good or a bad thing. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't see them. I saw your rivals, the Phillies, and they
Yeah.
won.
The Phillies won?
Yeah.
Boo.
But oh my gosh, so get this. One of the players, I'm not even like I don't keep track of baseball really, but he was the designated hitter for Philadelphia, and he's like a home run hitter, crushes it all the time, champ dude. I don't know his name. And he was up to bat, and we're all like, nervous. Not really, but pretending to be because it's a baseball game. And he was supposed to hit it out of the park, and then the ball comes in hot, and he's like, I'm gonna pose, up to bat. And it hits him right in the wrist where he's like batting. Like right where his hands are. I guess that's just he's up to bat. You guys get what I'm saying. Gets hit in the wrist and then like flops down super
Oh,
dramatic. Now I get
brother.
it that A, baseballs are fast. They're coming in hot, probably like up to 90 something miles per hour. I think that one pitcher was throwing. And your wrist slash hand has not a lot of meat right there. So that definitely does hurt. I've been hit in the arm before. It was probably like a 50 mile per hour ball when I was a kid. Hurt like a mother. So I get that this guy was bumming, but that's baseball. You get hurt. Like sometimes that's what happens. It's not on purpose unless they're really, really good, right? And then they do it on purpose, but it's not on purpose. And then everyone was like, oh no. Even like the Padres fans trying to be sympathetic and respectful. And then he stands up and, you know, he's okay. And everyone's like worried and he's walking off the field. He actually walked off the field because he was so hurt. He couldn't even base run. So he's walking off the field. Everyone's clapping. And as he's walking, say I'm him and the pitcher's over there. He's walking and he's like, he's barking at the, not literally barking, but like at the pitcher. And everyone's like, like booing him. So it ended up being like, we feel bad to like, you're an asshole. What are you doing?
Did like, they fight?
Almost did. He was like trying to go get the pitcher. And then everyone's like, it was an ex. Like, I thought you were like, we said, you, like, yay, you're okay. And then immediately just like gave attitude. And then everyone's booing him. And then he's in the dugout. And we're like, now it's awkward.
Like, yeah, that's weird.
What do we feel? We just don't like your attitude. So anyways. Long story short, we had a great time.
Cool, cool, cool.
Yeah, hadn't been to a baseball game in quite some time.
Yeah, I like Petco Park.
Yeah. Wait, is it called Petco because of like pets or is there someone named?
Yeah. Did Petco? You not see the like dog area in the outfield?
I did. There's like a little doggy park over there, but yeah, people were sitting there. I didn't see the dogs. I didn't have any binoculars. But I could see a green area. Good to know. World to know. Is that area free for people to bring their pets?
I don't think so.
The way it looked like it was free. Mm. Like it looked like open to the public, but that makes sense. Or else it would probably be way more crowded.
Yeah.
Well, cool for anyone who's local to California.
Yeah, San Diego's a great place to visit.
Yeah. I quite enjoyed my time there. It was a turn and burn one day. Mm. Oh, and we stayed at that hotel that's connected. And so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like pretty penny to stay there, but it was an experience. And we literally just like do over the bridge and then walk right in. No wait. It was insanity. Totally that's worth cool. it. Although we found out afterwards, you don't have to stay there. You just have to spend like $40 at the hotel. But we now know that we could take advantage of that. Like food or something. So you don't actually, like, we thought that you have to stay at the hotel to take the bridge over and get that perk. But then we saw a sign that all you have to do is spend like $40 like on lunch or something at the hotel, and then you can get access to the bridge to cross still. Like 10% of what it actually costs to stay there.
Well, you live and you learn.
Cray cray. Yeah, but we had a good time. It was our friend's birthday, so we went big.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyways, enough about me.
Okay.
Let's talk about horrible things.
Yay.
Yay. By the way, when my husband was here, he's still with us, I hope. I met here as in the house. What
a, like a weird transition. Like, let's talk about awful things. When my husband was with us.
Oh my gosh. No. When he was in the house, we were, right before he left, I told him, well, I don't want to make you spit out your drink, so I'll wait. But I told him, I'm like, hey, babe, just so you know, we're going to be talking about, like, murders, so beware. What I meant was, like, not beware. Like, I'm trying to warn him about the murders or something. Like, beware of who. I don't know what I was trying to say. I think I was trying to say, like, take caution to not listen because it's really bad, like, you know, horrible. But the way I read, the way I worded it was beware. And then I left the room.
Nice.
So, yeah. That was that. And now we are here. It is the time. Let's all take a deep breath and breathe in. Hold it. And breathe out. You are in a safe place. And today you are with Katie and Kylie of You're Not Paranoid podcast. And we're going to be talking about some pretty horrible things. So
yeah,
you are not in the headspace for murder or true crime or all the other horrible things of the world. It's okay to step away. That's why we do our little intro, because you can be here for us. That's cool. You don't have to be here for the story. But for those who'd like to listen.
Excuse me.
Katie just burped. For those who'd like to listen or watch. You also remember you can watch us, not in a creepy way, on our YouTube channel.
When we allow it.
Yeah, this is, we consent to this watching, which sounds weird. come take a look. What would rhyme with YouTube? All the words that came to mind were inappropriate.
And not
cube and lube just like immediately jumped into my brain. So horrible.
And it's probably it.
Tube? Nope, that's not so much better either. Well, YouTube is tube.
Yeah.
Don't be a noob. Tune into YouTube.
You're aggressive. Not paranoid.
Yeah. So here we are. Okay. Now that we've warned you. Not that I'm the boss, but I think you should go first. Are you ready?
No.
Oh, yeah. And today we're doing something different.
Oh, yeah.
Today are trying something new.
We're doing new format, Sean.
Yeah. Format/fashion/formation. What we're doing is one person this time will be Kete. She says hi. And so Katie will be sharing the topic story for the episode. I can't talk. Mm-hmm. So good thing you will be. And I will be the listener along with the listeners, but I will also be the voice of the listeners. And I've not heard this story before. Katie did not. Well, I kind of know what you're talking about just because we kind of briefly discussed it, but I don't know the deets. So I will be learning about it with you listeners. And that is that. And then next episode, it'll switch where I will be the talker and Katie will be the listener/discusser. And that's that, in hopes of keeping it maybe a little more, because I think sometimes we want to talk about all the things and it's hard to put all the things into one episode. So then we could feel uninhibited and do our thing our way.
All right. Yes. So spoiler alert, if anybody wants to watch this documentary, so I'm going to talk about the FLDS, aka the Fundamentalists, Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. I don't know. It's the Fundamentalist Mormons. I got back onto the Netflix true crime. Sorry. I feel like I'm talking too loud because these are very noise canceling.
Did you toot? Is that why you're...
No, there's so many freaking little like gnat things in our house right now.
Wait, are we in the same house?
Gnats? Because
there's gnats in my house too. And it was kind of, I said that earlier. I don't even know if you heard me, but literally I was doing this and it felt like we were doing it to the same gnat.
It probably is.
Ew. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, God.
I can't see it. I just see you miming it.
It's so annoying. Anywho. So I've been watching, I'm back on the true crime Netflix documentaries because it's more of an escape than having to deal with the current stuff. So I was watching Keep Sweet : Pray and Obey.
Oh, that just makes me wait, you all of that. No. Mm-mm.
That's a song that they made the girl sing.
Well,
it's so gross.
No.
Anyway, So it's kind of like become a big thing, this FLDS stuff, and there's a lot of former like young women on TikTok who are from that you want to call it a cult, religious sect, whatever you want to call it. I'd say it's more of a cult.
Survivors.
Yeah, so I remember watching like the Oprah show. She did an episode on it. I remember hearing about it while it was happening. So it's kind of interesting that it's kind of made a comeback.
Whoa.
So yeah. Spoiler alerts for this documentary if you want to listen or watch
Listen to
it.
us, but watch the documentary.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you can still watch it, but I'm just going to tell you. It happened a while ago. So, brief history. Basically, back in the early 1900s, there was a split in the Mormon church because some were like, we don't want to do polygamy anymore. We want to follow the laws of the country. Because polygamy was illegal in the US. And then another branch was like, no, polygamy is like part of our religion. And so they split. So today, like the main, in quotes, Mormons do not practice polygamy. And there are several different like branches that do. But this one is called the FLDS, the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saints. They are kind of on the border of Arizona and Utah, technically in Arizona, but then they spread into like the Utah side. And then they started moving to Texas when they were starting to get a little bit in trouble. And then randomly, there's also supposedly some in British Columbia, and then like different parts of like Tijuana, it said, and like Sonora. And it was kind of
What
like
about
random.
Florida? I'm waiting for Florida.
I didn't see Florida, but it was like Minnesota. There's a small part in Oklahoma. Excuse me. They're kind of like spread out. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, whereas everybody else is in Utah, I feel like. Or
Yeah.
mostly.
Mostly. Yeah. Or, yeah. That kind of like
Uniquely.
strip, Utah, Arizona, Texas. According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, the FLDS Church has been designated as a hate group. Citing the current leader Warren Jeffs' opinions on, quote, blacks, women, gays, violence, and the end of the world, and called them a white supremacist, homophobic, anti-government, totalitarian cult. It's also been
Whoa.
referred to as a polygamous cult, and that little section was all from Wikipedia. So they start off like kind of small, you know, Utah, Arizona border. They start building this giant complex in Texas, and they called the temple or the entirety of it itself called the Yearning for Zion Ranch. And the people in the documentary kept saying El Dorado, Texas, but it was all one word. I don't know. I thought it would have been El Dorado. They didn't, they're all white, so I don't know. And the weird thing is, and the kind of like the cult aspect of it was like all the stuff that they ever built or did was done by the members of the group and obviously unpaid labor. Another thing was any person who had their own business like gave it up to the church to like then own. And you had to give like quite a bit of money like towards the church.
Like tithing.
Plus they were like very kind of like the Amish when we were talking about they did not integrate into like the society. They were very separated. So I think most of their like food and supplies were as much as they could were made or produced within the group itself. And they kind of taught the kids to really fear, like they call them the Gentiles, like the people outside of their community. And a lot of them like never even like had interacted with people until like, you know, stuff started hitting the fan.
Yeah, it sounds so much like the Amish. I feel like that's where I get it sometimes mixed up in my mind.
Yeah, if you see the documentary, they look Amish. Yeah. I mean, the men don't have beards, but I think you might like have recognized it because it was pretty popular. This is like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
They were like pastel, like prairie dresses. They wear their hair kind of like poofy and like weird braids.
Kind of like old school. I'm trying to think. Reminds me of, I'm going to say the wrong word, like British Elizabethan. Well, I don't know if I'm saying that right. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Where they like have
Victorian.
Like, Victorian. Why did I say Elizabeth?
Is that, well, that's a, also is an that error. A word?
Okay.
Yeah. That was before history. Victoria.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, Victorian, like with their buns and the little like
yeah, not bun. Quite as like intricate as that, but it kind of looked more like 70s or 80s, like poofy. I don't know. I think you might recognize it. We'll post some pictures.
Yeah.
But yeah, very interesting. Yeah, so they don't know how many people, but the different people estimate between 6,000 and 10,000 members.
That's
so
a lot.
I mean, that's a decent amount.
Yeah, that's a whole community.
Yeah, and so there was like infighting within this like group that had first separated from the main Mormons. Mm-hmm. And so this one particular group that we're talking about and kind of started to form in 1984 with a guy named Rulon Jeffs. So the whole thing is that they just wanted to have a lot of wives. And so, and that this is where it differs from the other people that broke off, because those other sects, like, they still followed like the Mormon like religion. Like everything else is the same. They just wanted to have, you know, their multiple wives, because that was like the original doctrine. That's why they call themselves fundamentalists. But as you'll see, this dude like just really warps it, and that's why I don't think, or like that's why I think some people call it a cult, because it's not really fair to like Mormons,
right,
to call them Mormons, because it's not, they're not really following
right, they're giving them like a bad name.
Yeah So this guy Rulon Jeffs, basically, you know, classic cult leader styles, like, I'm the prophet, I'm the only one that can communicate to God, and I'll tell you what he's saying. He had 65 wives.
What?
Yeah. And so, you know,
where, what state, and how did they?
Yeah, so that is all very sneaky. Plus, like, in Utah and like the Arizona border of Utah, this is happening, I would assume, somewhat frequently. So they're not going, and like the authorities aren't really doing anything.
Like inspecting,
yeah, because it's like, let's see your wives. And I don't think they're obviously not officially going to get marriage licenses and stuff. There was one part of the documentary, I think they were going into Mexico for some of the licenses. Wow. I don't know why that would, I don't know,
maybe it's untracked. It's kind of, well, just why be wives? Why not just have like a bunch of girlfriends? Like, that just, that's sounds, was like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Not like, obviously it's not great, but just the property, I guess, just be like, this is my, like, I have all of these wives, they belong to me.
Yeah. Ugh. Something about with like the afterlife, and like, that was their whole thing. Like their like thing was, you needed to have at least 3 wives to go on, or like to be successful in the afterlife. There was like different levels, mm-hmm. or something. The documentary didn't really go too much into the like reason why, but I think it was because they were just making it up. There wasn't, they kind of weren't really going off of anything. And like, you know, what, like if everyone's consenting, like, I don't, like, I guess you, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Have more than one wife, but the true crime part comes in, because it was first starting to come up that allegations from that Rulon Jeffs was had wives that were as young as 14.
Oh.
But nothing
Those
really
poor
ever
girls.
happened. Yeah. So I mean they're like indoctrinated and like everyone truly believes he's like the prophet of God. And that's what you're supposed to do. He dies in 2002. One of his sons, Warren Jeffs, takes over. Does that name ring a bell?
That sounds super familiar.
Yeah, so he's the villain in this story.
Oh no. It's like you think the dad's bad, here comes the son.
I know. They call the dad Uncle Rulon. It's just kind of
Ew.
gross. So
Yeah, because then it's like, ew. Okay, I
yeah.
get it.
So he right off the bat marries all of his dad's wives, except for two of them.
Aren't those like his stepmoms?
Yeah. Like his, well, they call them sister wives to each other. I don't know if they like call all of them mom or like how much they have to do in raising like all the kids.
Yeah.
But
Oh, yeah.
yeah. And so he also, there's also allegations that he's marrying and marrying off underage girls. 'Cause the thing is, like, with their belief is he's the only one that can marry off girls or like arrange the marriages because God is the one that's telling him who needs to marry who. But in reality, it's just
Okay.
so that he can have the pick of whoever he wants.
He's like trading wives, basically. Wow. Including
And
underage girls. So
yeah, so I
upsetting.
mean, like, it's very clear that this like cult or scheme or whatever is just so that like these gross old men can rape
Ugh.
essentially like young girls. And what he would do, so I think he kind of like took his dad's plan and like ramped it up. He would also take all of the like young adult males and like older teenage males and like excommunicate them from the community or kick them out for like bogus reasons, because if you have the young men around, then they have to marry someone and you
Right.
can't be wasting all the young girls on these young men.
Oh
So
gosh.
that's when I think it started first, like coming out in like the general public, because the local authorities were just like, now we have like 100 like homeless like young men out here. They're not really educated. Like, we don't know
Oh, because
where,
they've been. Oh, I got it.
we don't know what's going on with these, like, what the heck? So that's kind of like the first like red flag in the public. And it's like really messed up. And then it's like when you're out, like you have no communication with the like your family. And I'm pretty sure they're all brainwashed, and he probably told them something like, oh, they did X, Y, and Z. That's why you can't talk to them
Yeah.
anymore.
Oh. Just like the Amish. Like, this is so, I suppose these are just like general tactics, right? Not just
Yeah,
Amish or
just controlling the
FLDS, but
women.
yeah, cult leader tactics.
Yeah.
Great controlling.
Yeah, there wasn't really much that anyone could do, like authorities wise. However, and so that was 2002 when he took over. By July of 2004, one of Jeff's nephews filed a lawsuit alleging that Warren Jeffs had. Okay, sorry. So there's like, I mean, we've already like kind of talked about it, but trigger warning for like sexual assault, rape, all
Yeah.
that kind of stuff. So his nephew alleges that Warren Jeffs had raped him in the 1980s. He wrote a book about it. And he claims that like the child's sexual abuse was like inflicted upon him by not only Warren Jeffs, but by his brothers and other family members.
What?
One of his brothers committed suicide after accusing Warren Jeffs of sexually assaulting him as a child. And then two of Warren Jeffs' nephews and two of his own children have also publicly claimed to have been sexually abused by him.
Ugh.
So from there, just like more and more things come out. So the two of the women in the documentary, when they like I think they've been out for a while, but one of them was married off at 14, and she's kind of the one that the authorities actually got to build their case around. She was not only she's married off at 14, but married off to her cousin, who was 19 at the time, and she was saying that he had always been really awful towards her. And in the documentary, she talks about how like they weren't even taught like sex ed, so like she didn't even know like what was happening. She just like didn't want it to, and would like go to Warren Jeffs and be like, why is he doing this to me? I don't like it. Like, can you please like help me? And he would just be like, you know, like that's the wife's like job. Like, you need to submit to your husband and do what he says. So she eventually leaves and is able to escape. The interesting thing from like the people that are in the documentary, they're obviously out of the FLDS, but it kind of sounds like not their whole family was a part of it, because or maybe they're just the lucky ones, because they're talking about how like, oh, I called my brother, or I called like my uncle or something, and they were able to come get me. So I don't know if it was like people that got kicked out, or
Who already were out,
So I mean, that's pretty like fortunate for them. But yeah, so that one girl in 2005, with some lawyers, they were able to put charge, or what's the legal term, like press charges, on Warren Jeffs. Because, and this is where I don't know if it's like a law everywhere, but at least in Utah, it's a crime, like you can be charged as an accomplice to rape. And so that's what they were going after Warren Jeffs for, because since he arranged the marriage and she was underage.
And it's his cousin. Like, there's all so many things.
So they're hoping that they could get him for at least those. So he was charged with two counts of accomplice to rape. But he goes on the lam and they can't find him. The documentary says that he's like living it up, like going to Disney World, Vegas. He's ordering porn on the hotel TVs. He brings a few of his wives along with him. And they are like basically taking all of the offerings and tithings on a weekly basis to him. So like he's in communication with like one of his brothers. And the guy that was on the documentary was like, we were giving him like upwards of $300,000 a week. And they were just like really like pressing people for money like all the time. But they wouldn't really like say why. And from
I'm
there,
speechless.
he gets put on the FBI's most wanted list in 2006. And luckily, later on that year, he gets pulled over in Nevada, and it was only because the cop couldn't read the temporary license plate number on the van, or like it wasn't like properly on there, so that's why he got pulled over. And I don't know, I think they say in the documentary, but I don't remember, like if he like recognized him, or if it like when he eventually did run the plates, it came up. But either way, like that he got arrested. Oh, when in the car, he had four computers, 16 cell phones, disguises, including wigs and a bunch of sunglasses, and more than $55,000 in cash. Yeah.
I feel like
So.
that would also be if like everything else wasn't lining up. You're like, can I take a look in your van? And you're like, okay, this person is definitely, I'm gonna arrest you just on suspicions.
Yeah, something is not right here.
You're sketchy.
Yeah. He was driving with one of his wives and a brother, but they were let go. Do do do. 2007, that just kind of gets worse for this guy. I mean, not that he doesn't deserve it. In 2007, Arizona adds eight separate counts of incest and sexual. Just said sexual conduct with minors. I guess that's Statutory you would think it'd be like, rape. Well, misconduct, but I guess there is no right sexual conduct with minors. Well,
like sexual assault, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Like the legal term, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes the legal wording is just weird.
Doesn't really do it justice for what it is. They say exactly.
Yep. So later on in 2007, Jeffs is convicted of the two counts of rape as an accomplice, which got him 10. Well, the sentencing was 10 years to life in Utah State Prison. However, in 2010, the Utah Supreme Court overturned that ruling due to flawed jury instructions. So I didn't read too much into that. I didn't want to go down that rabbit hole, but I feel like it's like really like, and it's probably something really stupid, like the way that they like told the jury to interpret the law or something was not like worded properly,
or told them to not to ignore certain admissible whatever
yeah,
or to pay attention to. I don't know.
Yeah, it was interesting because I don't remember the documentary talking about that, and then when I was reading it I was like, SOS?
Well, yeah, because then it opens another can of worms. Documentaries are interesting that way, right? Because it paints the picture that it wants the message to portray, but also like that alone could be its own whole series, like the jury of that trial. Can you I mean,
yeah, but it doesn't end there.
Oh my gosh.
So then kind of like around the same time. No, wait. Yeah. So I was trying to put this in like chronological order.
Yeah.
I feel like the documentary had some things kind of flipped. Yeah. Okay. I'll do it the way that they did. So, while he's still in prison, supposedly he tries to hang himself and goes on repeated hunger strikes. He gets put into a medically induced coma because of excessive hunger strikes. So separately, in 2008, Texas authorities raided that Yearning for Zion ranch they took legal custody of 416 kids because they got a phone call alleging physical and sexual abuse. The caller claimed to be a 16-year-old girl married to a 50-year-old man. And she says that at 15, she gave birth to a child of his. So they were there like all night, like questioning people, and they were kind of like giving them the runaround, like, oh, is it this girl? And they'd be like, after they talked to her for a while, they'd be like, no, this is not her. And then they would wait like an hour to go find like another person. But weirdly, I wouldn't say sadly because it's messed up, but this ended up being a hoax. It was a 33-year-old woman from, I thought it said like from Colorado or something. Like completely unrelated to the FLDS and had actually been known for filing false reports.
Too convenient.
Yeah, but it's also like the way they reacted to it. It's like because like that specific person might not exist, but that was actually what was happening in there. So it's like, yeah, I mean, this person was like weird, but like maybe she was just trying to get the police in there. I mean, I know that's not legal.
I mean, I've been watching the show How to Get Away with Murder, and my brain immediately goes to they're trying to have a witness and then discredit the witness to then make you assume that everything else must also not be true. Mm-hmm. So that would be like defense law on like the FLDS people if they wanted to try to make people not come investigate them to tell her to do that. Now I'm getting into conspiracy theory, but that would make sense for them to tell her to do that And then they investigate, and then it's like, oh, actually, it wasn't even, see, there, it was someone not even here, and she does this all the time.
Right? Yeah, I mean, they definitely used it to their advantage, because they, the 416 kids, I think, were held for a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
While the, like, lawyers and stuff were trying to, like, figure out what was going on. And by this time, Warren Jeffs was in prison, like, for those charges. So they're like, obviously, like, something is going on.
Yeah.
And I think they had enough, like, to search and to obviously, like, keep the kids. But then the FLDS really, like, completely spun it. And the documentary, they were saying, like, the experts were like, the FLDS never, like, you know, made any sort of public statements. They never, like, went out into the community, blah, blah, blah. But when that happened, they were on, like, every TV show. That's when Oprah came. They were, like, crying and, like, blah, blah, blah. They would only show, like, the women. They're like, we want our babies back. And they really flipped, like, the public.
The narrative, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, like, sexual allegations, what? And that was, like, just completely lost. It was all just, like, the focus was just, like, tearing, like, kids away from their moms. And the, like, the Texas Capitol, like, the higher-up people were like, we don't want this mess. Like, we don't want to have to deal with this. And so they ended up, like, bringing all the kids back after a little bit. And I feel like that kind of helped their, like, image.
I feel like neither of those things are the right answer. Like, you can't, like, it's, I don't, like, you can't just take 400 kids. Like, what are you gonna do with them? I don't know. There is no great answer,
yeah.
But I just feel like that they shot themselves in the foot by,
yeah, because,
like, so reactive.
Yeah, one of the investigators was like, she was like, we were pretty upset when they, like, brought them back, because we actually had, like, some substantial, like, steps. We had made some substantial steps forward in this case.
Yeah.
So she was kind of upset. She thought they were, get, like, putting all those kids back into danger, but they, like, legally, like, didn't, you know, you can't just keep kids for
that's
reason.
Yeah, that needs to be defined somewhere.
That's, yeah, so, and it was sad hearing from some of the people who had left, who are, like, being interviewed for this documentary, because they were a bit younger at the time, so they got to, like, talk about the experience, like, firsthand, and they were, like, so sheltered and taught to, like, fear the outside world so much that they said when the SWAT people came in, you know, they're obviously, like, wearing all black, and I don't think they had, like, their weapons out, because it was kids, but she said, like, I literally thought they were devils, like, coming to take us away because we were bad or something.
Oh no.
And it's, like,
it's
so,
like, they
sad.
Think they,
it's, like,
deserve it. It's like,
yeah, they have
psychology, not, like, being helped. And then it, like, makes them believe more that they should be in there. Oh my God.
And even for, like, the women who were, like, kind of brainwashed by this, they probably thought the same thing. And then that probably just really further, like, tied them to the FLDS.
Yeah.
It, you know, it wasn't the FLDS taking their kids away. It was the outside world.
Right.
But speaking of that, if any of, like, the older men became a threat to Warren Jeffs, or he just, like, paranoia, like, oh, this guy's gonna, like, do something, he would kick out the guy and then reassign his wives and children to other men. So, I mean, they were kind of, and that's what the one girl was saying, was, like, she was like, it was such BS seeing them crying on, like, the Access Hollywood and stuff, because she's like, we saw them reassigning wives and children and breaking up families all the time.
Yeah.
And then she was saying one specific woman who was on a lot of these interviews, because they were being asked, like, what about these allegations of underage, like, girls being married off and stuff, and they're like, oh, I've never seen that. And the one girl was like, she was a midwife for this, like, 13-year-old girl, like having a baby. So it's like she saw it. So they were just like completely lying. But I mean, the public kind of like ate it up.
Because it's a story that's sensationalized, right? And they're obviously going to, they're not dumb. I mean, if they're this successful at brainwashing thousands of people, they seem to know what they're doing, and they're going to brainwash everybody else with, guess what? A brainwasher who's going on TV. Like, if you're a TV interviewer, I don't want the person you select to interview. I want to be able to go into the compound or whatever, the ranch, and pick a random person and be like, you're going to tell me what's going on for real.
Yeah,
Right?
and it's just crazy too, like the same time your leader is in jail for accomplice to rape of an underage girl,
Yeah,
but
no, like,
everything's fine. But don't worry, it gets worse.
okay.
And then I'm almost done.
No, yeah.
So it kind of ends, and I think that's where the documentary flips, because I think chronologically they talked about the raid earlier, but from what I was reading on Wikipedia, it goes like he gets arrested, they go raid the compound, and then he actually gets extradited to Texas, because somehow, I don't know if it's linked to like the investigation they had already started, but somehow they're able to get onto the ranch again, but this time for search warrants. And they go through the temple and they say it's like really creepy, and they show some like videos of it, and they find like a safe or like a hidden room, and they break it down, they get in. Warren Jeffs like had written everything down, like all the marriages, the ages of the girls. And then there were some videotapes, and they play like very, very small clips of the audio, but it's so disgusting. He was taping himself raping a 12-year-old girl and a 15-year-old girl in front of his other wives, and then was
Oh my
also
God.
like the some of the audio they were like playing, he was like teaching the wives, or like about like having orgies, or like saying it was okay too and stuff. So he's still in jail for that.
He's still alive. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so
That's
the
shocking that no
overturning of
one's.
the no, sorry, what were you
I
saying?
was just going to say, it's shocking that no one has gotten there too, because, people who abuse children are often targets in prison to be killed. So he must be in a safe place.
Yeah, he is still alive from what I have read.
Wow.
So he was found guilty for that. A sexual assault of a minor and aggravated assault, a sexual assault against a child. And those were both the 12-year-old and the 15-year-old. He had married them.
Ugh.
So that sentencing was life in prison plus 20 years and fine $10,000. So he is currently in jail.
$10,000.
I know it's like,
If you
okay.
could afford, if you had 300, if like $30,000 a week or whatever it was, $10,000?
Yeah, but
That's
I mean, to be
insanity.
fair, like that is all from his followers. You know, it's not like that's how he makes his
No.
money.
Then he should owe way more than that, is my point still.
Tax-free churches, baby. But don't
Sorry,
worry.
I'm grossing out at him. It's like,
Don't worry. If you were wondering what happened to the FLDS, it is still it's still there. He's still running it from jail,
what?
giving like his sermons and notes through visitation. Sometimes he'll call in the church. So yeah.
Wait, seriously? What?
Yeah, and it's like some more people have left since some of that stuff has come out. I think there are unfortunately a big number of people who are too far gone. But also, like, if that's all you ever know and you're taught that the outside world is evil and wrong, then, then basically he's a martyr. And yeah. He is first eligible for parole in July of 2038 when he'll be in his 80s.
Parole? They better
Yeah.
not grant him. And I don't care what kind of behavior he has, he should not be released ever in his lifetime.
Yeah. And I mean, not that it matters, but his voice is really creepy sounding. So like hearing him like just throughout the documentary, like, ugh.
Yeah, you just well, also you
And
know
he
what's
looks
going
creepy.
on. Yeah, gosh, it's like, oh, I wish there was a legal way slash there were people who legally could go like undercover cops kind of thing into these and just get everything like realized and brought down. Like just But it's also probably super dangerous to do that because if they're getting away with all this other stuff, who's to say they're not getting away with, I mean, moderate, like, self, like they're the law, they probably have their own like detectives and their own whatever, and they do their
Yeah.
investigations and take the law into their own hands because if they don't assimilate with the world, they're probably doing other things too that are pretty heinous. It's like,
Yeah. Allegedly, or like in that the first town that they started in, it was a very small community, and I think a lot of the police force were FLDS.
Of course they were.
So.
Ugh. I have like finger marks in my legs. I think I was like digging into my leg the whole time. Gosh, that's so upsetting.
Yeah.
But, and it's like, I mean, were you able to see if there are people? I mean, it sounds like people are actively trying to bring more attention to this to do something about it, or else there wouldn't be a documentary that got published and people are coming forward. So that's good. But what now?
Yeah, and it's sad too, like at the end, like all the people that were interviewed, it was mostly women. Also kind of like surprise of like who tries to leave or like the people being abused. It's really sad because they were talking about like the two sisters. The one that testified, and then like her older sister, they were talking about how basically they were doing it because for their younger sisters, because they're like, we know like what's gonna happen. And from what it sounded like, that they were still in it, and then like all the other people talk about like who was left. And like the one lady who was a
Oh.
little bit older, she was like, I think it was like all eight of her kids. Like they took them away, like reassigned them. And so she hasn't seen them. Yeah, it was
Yeah,
kind of
that's
interesting.
hard.
Yeah, the documentary starts with this married couple. But it doesn't really say like if I mean, I guess legally they wouldn't be able to say if they were still polygamist, but it kind of sounded like they weren't as like weird about it. I don't know. It was kind of weird, and then they didn't really talk to them for the rest of the documentary. But it was like I think it
Maybe.
was the mom, or I don't know, actually biological mom, but it was one of the wives and the husband of the two daughters that like the legal case. Excuse
Got
me.
it.
But yeah,
Yeah.
so it's kind of their dynamics were kind of interesting.
Yeah, because there you, I mean, just like with our Amish episode, it's the same, right? Or similar, where if you're in it and your whole family's in it and you don't want to leave your younger sister,
or family, like you're never going to see them again. So then there's that risk, but it's really, really, really hard. Like trying to convince them. What if there was like propaganda that we can just like slip into the FLDS, you know? Or like, or I don't want them coming after me. They don't leave their compound, right?
No, that's not like Scientology where they like actively go after people.
Great. But they're not like the Amish where they don't listen to podcasts. So, okay. Well, I was going to say if somehow someone were to like be Warren Jeff's voice and be like, I condemn you're doing now. And I, you know, Jesus spoke to me and we are no longer doing this. The abuse and everything else. I don't know.
Say what?
There's got to be something, or like the next one of Warren Jeff's maybe like children just like rising up. And but it just shouldn't happen. It just should stop. Mm-hmm. Like there shouldn't be something that needs to happen to convince them to stop doing these horrible things. Like it just shouldn't already be a thing.
Yeah. And that's like,
that's what I get frustrated with.
Yeah. And it's like a sticky situation because it's a religious group, or they claim to be. So I think that automatically limits what like authorities can do right off the bat. And if they say like, oh, we're not marrying off the young girls anymore, it's like, okay, I don't know if like they can like have things where they go and check on them, you know?
There's got to be something that where the law overpowers the church. If it's at a certain point, right? Just like all other types of abuse. It's just, yeah, that's a really difficult thing to prove. Although Warren Jeffs obviously made that real easy with all his documenting. Jeez, that's insanity. Maybe someone else's doc, maybe that's part of it. Maybe they are documenting it and they have to find the other secret room and then bring everybody down too.
Yeah.
I meant like whatever the documentation is, or someone can leak it. No, thank you.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? It's like so much of like your life is just dependent on who and where your parents were.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God.
Yeah, and how you came into the world and the world as it was when you did arrive. Mm-hmm. And where, what kind of people your parents were when you did arrive, you know, that's, there's so many things out of your control. I just speaking of being alive, if this is a slightly like positive thing, I have a quote on my board. And it says, you are one in 400 trillion. Like the odds of you being here today is one in 400 trillion just to be alive right now.
Is that because of the sperm
genetics?
Count?
It's the no. Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, it's, wouldn't it be?
Well, because, okay, so.
Oh, but then just, also the combination of genes.
Gestation. Yeah. So the odds of like your parents meeting. And then your parents mating, and then don't think about that too long. And then your parents' successful fertilization of an egg, and then that egg and being fertilized to success, and then going through all the stages of development. And then, you know, your mom not your mom knowing that you're there and not drinking or something or doing anything. And then you coming out and, you know, actually like surviving childbirth, like everything is such a process. It's, there's so many you know, the odds are not in, as you can tell, one in 400 trillion. The odds are not in the favor of everybody being alive, or else that would be the case, right? So just not to make us feel guilty about something, but rather grateful, like just to even show up and survive and live, like to be born and then live and then go through. Yeah, it's like one in 400 trillion. So At least there's that. We've done a lot of things. Like, we survived some crazy odds, so at least maybe we can survive some other things too. Is that a weird thing to say?
No, I think it's appropriate for today's okay. landscape.
It's just like, it's pretty, yeah. It's pretty insane, but yeah, that's that. Did you see if there were any resources, or did the documentary list any resources for people to learn more?
Yeah, it did leave a like resource page at the end of each episode.
Mm-hmm. I do not have it written down.
We'll have them on our website or in our podcast notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like how to learn, and maybe I'm sure there's organizations that contribute, and or hopefully there's a lot of legal people working on this too, to get the remaining, you know, those who are the current victims probably of this.
Yeah, the one abuse. Has written a book. I know. I just saw her on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Let's bring her on.
Yeah.
Hear what, or maybe read her book and then talk about her book, like we did with our Amish episode. Mm-hmm. Behind blue blue curtains.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it's behind the
blue curtain. Yeah. Oh man, wow. Yeah, that's a lot of things to take in at once, and to think that everything is still, because I feel like a lot of our episodes are, wow, look, like looking back, like that was horrible. Mm-hmm. But this is like, this is horrible. This is still horrible.
Yeah.
Ugh, but. Watch the documentary, go to the resource page. If you feel that you can offer something to these survivors and current victims, then please do. Because it takes a village to end a cult, as they say.
Yeah, don't join a cult.
No. Stop. Say no to cults.
Mm-hmm.
Just have a shirt that says that. Like, instead of say no to drugs,
say no to cults.
Say no to cults. Say no, thank you, and F you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was binging a new podcast. Well, it's new for me. Mm-hmm. It's newish. It's called It Sounds Like a Cult. It's a little more not so heavy. It's things like Soul Cycle or CrossFit.
Yeah.
Like their tagline is, it sounds like a cult, but is it really?
Right.
That
sounds interesting, because it's like Herbalife and
mm-hmm. MLMs.
Yeah. Wait, what?
MLMs. Isn't that what Herbalife is?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's the fancy way of saying a pyramid scheme. Mid-level marketing.
Oh. MLMs for sure. That's funny. I'll have to check it out. Is it a cult? Wait, is that what this is called? Is this a cult?
Sounds like a cult.
Sounds like a cult. Mm-hmm. That's a good one. Yeah, one that's not funny at all and is super heavy is the Escaping Nexium one.
Oh.
Have you listened to that one?
No, oh my I don't know gosh. If I...
It's by, I'm pretty sure it's by the CBC, the Canada Broadcast.
Yeah, the CBC has always got the banger podcasts.
The CBC's got mega bangers, and that sounds a little wrong. But Escaping Nexium is, it's about the one, I'm super bad with names of people.
Rainier.
Yes.
Keith Rainier.
That sounds right. And then there was like another lady who was a celebrity, and she's in on it, and yeah, and they like physically harm them, which is very, you know, common among cults, and it's just
playing volleyball.
The what do you call the producing of it is very good because you feel like you're there and everything's happening and they're interviewing and it's super like on your edge of your seat. So it feels like you're watching a documentary, but you're listening. That's what podcasts do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyways, that's a interesting one to check out as well. Speaking of cults.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, wow.
Yeah.
We made it. We
got through it.
We got to the other side. And we appreciate you for those who stayed with us, listening mm-hmm. in and educating yourself and being educated with us. And that's all we can do, one step at a time. And also it's that thing that we feel like the more we know, the more we can prevent ourselves, hopefully, and other future generations not repeating history if possible, and getting involved if possible, and all those things, as we say. That's yes. kind of why we're here. And like, you know, if people are telling you that they're in their religion or something and something doesn't feel right, or if you don't like what you're dealing with or something seems off, like, you're not paranoid. Like, it's probably mm-hmm. not right. If it feels mentally, physically, spiritually wrong, trust it.
Yes.
Like, almost nothing bad can come from leaving a cult. Is that a true statement? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's better to leave.
Yeah, I'd be like, no, thank you.
I mean, I guess like it's not that easy. I'm not stupid, but
no, you're talking more though if you come across something, not if like
yeah, if you come across it, or if you're in it, or if you're or someone's even like, yeah, this sounds like a cult. Like, if it doesn't feel right, sound right, don't be pressured. Like, it's okay to not join.
Mm-hmm.
There are other nice people in the world. You don't need to be with those who, you know, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. They're probably mm-hmm. trading something that you want, that they want from you for something that they're offering. I don't know. I'm done. That's it. I just, I feel really protective and I don't know what to do about it.
No, I know. It's hard.
And it's not that easy. And I understand that.
Yeah.
But anyways, okay. Well, thank you for listening.
Yes, and thank you.
We will see you next week.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.